Hey there, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, where we talk about the Akashic Records and your life and how to get a deeper sense of our purpose, not only with ourselves, but tonight with animals and with our communication with the animals. And we'll be talking about dolphins, and we'll be talking about whales, and we'll be talking about the health of your wonderful buddies there in the animal kingdom. Because tonight we have Lori Rayon Anderson from the San Diego area on the radio with us tonight. And Rayon is a very special lady because she has this very special gift of being able to communicate with the whales and the dolphins, and all animals for that matter. And she has a very special high being by the name of Puda that has incarnated as her cat. And she's going to tell you all about that, and we're going to talk about the wonderful lives of animals, and we're going to get her take on lots of things. And we want you to call in and ask Lori questions, ask Rayon questions, ask me questions, and let's get the show on the road. So without further ado, welcome, Rayon. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you. Yes, it's a joy to be back on the program again.
Good.
Talking to you and whoever's listening, we thank you.
So tell us what you've been doing since the last time we talked.
Oh, I've been very busy. Yesterday I had the great opportunity to speak and tell my story, which in 1994 I had what they call a near-death experience, and part of what happened when I came back is I was increasingly telepathic with my cat. At that time was Pootie. And then, you know, kind of developed into it more, and then found out that I was able to communicate with other animals too, and then later the dolphins, and then ultimately in the last few years the whales. So it's been a joy, and I was able to speak to a group of people from IONS, I think it's called. They have that all over the world, you know, where people get to share their experience of what it was like to go into the light and the other side, and met some really incredible people. Yeah, that was good. And we've been out on another whale boat trip out of Dana Point. That's in California, you know, right here north of San Diego. And we saw an incredible megapod of dolphins. Again, a part of the same megapod I'd seen a few weeks prior. I would say about 200 dolphins, and they're just leaping and jumping and trying to get in the boat with us. And lots of babies out there.
Lots of babies.
And so they had incredible messages and healing for us. And then we saw two very large gray whales, and we followed them for about an hour, and they were very conscious of the boat, and our boat and other boats, and came to us and flipped their tails and did the deep dives, and, you know, were very responded to us, you know. So it was the people really enjoyed that. And we had a wonderful guest on that's a mentor of mine, Paul Lloyd Warner. Some of you may know of him. In the 70s, he wrote The Oracle of the Whales.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's an incredible book. It's out of print now, but, you know, some of it's available on his website. And he's also a composer, and he composes incredible music in nature. And years ago in the 70s, he was asked by a movie producer to research classical music and, you know, the consciousness of the whales. And this is in, like, 1975. He went out on a catamaran out of Hawaii with a grand piano, and they filmed what the dolphins and whales did underneath the boat, and they flipped and jumped and, of course, responded to the music, and he played his repertoire and then started over. It said it was one of the highest experiences of his life. But long story short, we got off the boat, and he's an elderly gentleman now, and he's had a lot of trouble with his sight, but he had a healing on the boat from the whales, and he's able to see now.
But just from the boat trip with you?
Yes.
Wow,
in just
that's
3 hours.
Great.
So he's a very happy man.
I can understand why.
Yeah, he was weeping with joy,
trip?
You know. And he had been feeling sad about losing his eyesight, you know, and it's back. So,
wow.
These are the kind of things that are happening, folks. It's just, it's such a blessing to be in their presence. And you know, you don't actually have to be in their physical presence to receive the healing and the messages if you're open, because these are what I call the super sentient beings on the planet, you know, the ancients. And they are doing wonderful, wonderful things.
Yeah. Well, I just want to give out the call-in numbers for people to call in.
Okay.
So if you're out there, folks, and you're in the U.S., you can call us and ask questions at 877-876-5622. 800-273-5227. That's in the U.S. If you're or worldwide, you can call 888-815-9756. Or if you'd like to dial direct, you can dial 530-876-3222. Or you can also email questions to info, I-N-F-O, at akashicwisdom.com. That's akashicwisdom.com. That's great. Hey, you know, Laura, you had mentioned about your story. Now, did you tell, last time you were on a few weeks ago, did you tell your story?
Well, yesterday I had the opportunity to speak for about 2.5 hours, and I started back when I was, you know, a kid in Nebraska riding horses and playing with cats, and that I'd always had this great love for animals.
No. I know that, but I mean, we don't. What I'm
we don't have
is,
time for all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I want. I'm sure the listeners would love to hear it. But what I was talking about is the. If you could kind of fast forward in that story to the you, last time you were on, you didn't talk about your near death experience, about how Pootie brought you back to consciousness, did you?
No, I don't think so.
Take a moment, because you know people are always try to understand what happens when you cross over, and I think that your insight could be very helpful to them tonight. And then just take a couple of minutes and do that, and then we can move into talking about the whales and the dolphins, and maybe we can get a message from Pootie also.
Yes, she would. She's right here.
Right.
She wants everybody to know that she's 1 year old now.
Oh,
on March 3rd, and that she became pregnant right after coming back from the Sedona conference, and so she's going to have her 4 babies in April. So, for people that are out there that feel so guided, she hasn't told me yet, you know, who they are, but I know the right people will come forth for them, and that will be in May sometime. So,
okay,
maybe June,
then.
Probably in June. So.
And she's only having 4.
Well, that's enough. Yeah, that's enough. She's a very small cat, so.
Okay.
She's excited right. about being a mother. So you would like me to tell
just
what happened?
Because you mentioned that's what you talked about, and I know people are going to say, what's this about near death? Yeah. So I just like to take a few minutes and talk about how you really discovered who you were and who Pootie was in that hour of challenge.
Okay.
Or that time of challenge.
Okay. Well, just very briefly, too, the cat, Pootie, who came to me, and this was, 1992, came to me in 1992 as a gift from my boyfriend at the time, was never like other cats. It was just always very different, was very much more involved with being on the lap of a human or, you know, at that time I was running a dance school and being in the ballet room with the children and just didn't go around doing cat things. And I had other cats at the time, so I thought that was kind of unique. So there was something always different about Pootie and the healing energies that he had. At that time, I was a Christian, and I was running a dance school, so I didn't really have an understanding of reincarnation or ascended masters or the things that I'm working with now. So this was the beginning of my spiritual awakening. I just want to say to everybody, too, you don't have to have a near-death experience. You don't have to die, cross over into the light, and come back to be telepathic. That I just was strongly guided to change my life path to begin to do the work I'm doing now, and this is the way Spirit spoke to me. But I was involved in a quote-unquote car accident, even though there are no car accidents. You know, there's no accidents.
Right.
Things happen for a reason. And at the time, I think it's called the hematoma, formed on my side of my, above my right ear where my head had impacted with the window. And
wow.
I didn't take it very seriously because I'm freedom-seeking being, very independent. And also, it was just after the Northridge earthquake, and people were very traumatized. A lot of people still sleeping in their cars and outside, and I didn't feel... I'm not the kind of person at that time in my life that really liked to ask for help. I just figured it would just go away, and I'd be fine. And that's not what happened, unfortunately. And so through a series of different doctors and things in the coming months, I had lost some hearing. And so I went in for an experimental treatment with a doctor, and I had to sign, you know, papers because it wasn't a cutting kind of surgery. It was a sonic sound thing where they were trying to clear up my hearing. And fortunately, my eardrum burst, and I started to bleed right from my brain through my ear canal. And they weren't able to stop it because in a previous treatment, I'd had Coumadin, the drug Coumadin, which is a blood thinner. And, you know, I hadn't communicated well between the different doctors. So long story short, I was bleeding to death, and there wasn't really a whole lot they could do. It was very painful, and I went into a deep depression and felt, you know, very sad because I'd been a very healthy athlete all my life. Just, you know, went into a victim mode, what I call a victim mode, which I highly advise people to avoid. When you get into that energy, you need to ask for help. You need to find a way to have somebody help you. So I was spiraling down in a lot of pain and just giving up, and I was losing, you know, a great amount of blood. I was walking around my house with a towel on my shoulder, and there was blood everywhere. It was very, very sad when I look back to what I let myself, you know, go down to. And there was one night came, and I just knew that I was going to die, and I was actually welcoming it because I felt so much pain and just, you know, very unloved at that point in my life. So Pootie, the cat, had been helping me and laying in bed with me, but that night he wrapped his whole body around the top of my head and licked the blood as it trickled out of my ear and just wouldn't let me go, just purred and purred and loved me and began to speak to me, and he said, you need to get in the car, and I'm going with you, and we're going to the hospital. You're going to drive to the hospital. We're going to do that now. Because I had unplugged my phone and locked my doors and shut myself off from everyone. And it was time for me to get help. So I did. Somehow I drove to the hospital. And there, at the hospital, I went into emergency and I died, transitioned. And I was on the other side for what they said, about 6 minutes, 6 Earth minutes. And during that time, I went into the great light, into the tunnel. And I was welcoming that because I just felt, you know, this overwhelming presence of love and joy. And I was just overjoyed to be going to heaven, you know. And the first energies that greeted me when I came through the light were my horse, Bonfire, who had passed over, and my grandmother, Becky. And it was very joyous for me to see them. And it's kind of like, you know, I'll have to quote Betty Eady here in her book, Embraced by the Light. She says it's kind of like going into the color when you had been living in black and white. It was just, it's difficult to describe how incredibly beautiful it was and how loved we are, you know, by all of the spiritual beings that are friends. So, and I don't know if it's because I was a Christian at that time or not, because I have this great love for Jesus, you know, and had studied the Bible a lot and taught Bible school. But then I was welcomed by the energy of Jesus, and that was so joyous. And at that point, I kind of reformed my body into the body of a child. I don't know exactly how that happened, but then I was just sitting there on his lap and loving him, and he was loving me, and I was like, I'm home, you know. And then this council appeared, this beautiful white being, radiating white and gold light. And there were 12 of them, and they were sitting at this beautiful, like, see-through table. It was, like, hard to explain. You could put your hand through it, but it was still had form. And they said to me that I had created this experience by my own hand, is the words they used. In other words, it was my responsibility for this particular, you know, transition, and it wasn't my time. And they said, we cannot make you go back. We love you. You're welcome to stay. But we would like you to consider going back because you have a lot yet to do. And if you'd like to take a look at your life review and some destiny points that you created before you were born, we're going to show you that. Would you like to see that? And I went, no, I don't want to see it. I just want to sit here. And they said, well, we're going to show you, okay? I had what they call a holographic life review where you see and experience everything in just a second. It's just like just moments. You see from your birth, even before your birth, you see yourself choosing your parents and choosing where you're going to be born and your birth date and your name. All of this is done before you incarnate.
Right.
It was most amazing to me because I had no knowledge of any of this. You know, now it's fairly common information to light workers, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to me, and I was just overwhelmed, you know. I was like, wow, you know. And all the different things, you know, the people I would marry and people would come into my life, and I was shown all of that. And not only did I experience all the thoughts and feelings that I had, I experienced the thoughts and feelings of everyone around me in every experience. It's like it's all recorded in consciousness. It's all there for you. And it's not so that you can judge yourself or
right.
They can judge you. It's just to experience, again, what you've done, you know. And they showed me things from the future that I had the opportunity to do. It's not that, you know, we don't have free will. It's just that we have destiny points, I guess you could call them. They called it your pure potentiality. Those, like, a lot of different things that are out there that you may or may want to do in your life. And they showed me that. And then they said that a lot of that would be removed from my memory when I went back, but it would come back to me at the appropriate time. The memories would come back, and they are coming back. Because I know they showed me about the whales and dolphins, but it was years later, see, almost 15 years later, before I ended up really processing that information. So I still didn't want to come back, I still just wanted to be there in the light. And then they showed me two things, and one was my mother. And my mother in this life was my best friend. She's the most amazing being anyone would ever know or have, and it was just incredible having her be my mother, because I don't know how to explain it other than that. We'll just say she's an incredible being of light, and I was so blessed to have her as my mother. And I was shown that she wouldn't probably recover emotionally if I decided to pass over, that it was out of sync, that it would be appropriate for her to pass first. And we were very close, and that she might not heal from the experience, and it would greatly affect her life. And then I was shown Pootie in the back seat of my car in the parking garage, and no one knew he was there.
Aww.
And I was shown who he is in the higher realms. Now, that was removed from my memory, and when I came back to, I had to rediscover that. But at the time, I was shown that, and now I know that, and that he had a great purpose, and that he would die in the car and not fulfill his purpose, because no one would find him.
Yeah.
So I came back.
Well, we're
so
glad you did.
Talk me into it, you know. And it took me a while, you know, maybe like about 3 and 3.5 years to integrate and heal from that experience. And I had had about 60-some% of my blood transfused that day, so I had a lot of immune deficiencies and problems the first few years with, you know, everything made me sick, you know. So, and it was a restart for me because, you know, I lost my house and my property and my business, but it was all to set me on this other path, which is a huge blessing now, or I'd still be doing that. And it's not that that is bad to be a dance teacher, because I loved it. But I was destined to be an animal communicator and a metaphysical teacher and a healer and do the things I'm doing now.
So tell us what you are doing now. So how this, you know, first of all, I love that story. And I think that it's so important for people to understand that it doesn't make any difference where you think you are. You are where you need to be, and it's up to you. Your attitude and your choices is what creates your tomorrow.
Yes. And it's all about choices.
It is.
It is. And part of what happened when I came back is I was incredibly telepathic, just like you and I are talking now, with Pootie. And we were laying in bed, excuse me, for many hours, you know, during this time of healing. And he would just look into me, and he would say things like, you know, love is all there is. You know that now. And the goal is to create heaven on earth. And you know, just these wonderful things, you know, that were so highly evolved for me at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I would look into him, and I think, I'm just going crazy. You know, this is fine. It's fun going crazy with you, you know. But he said, get up and write these things down, you know. And we're going to write a book, and we're going to write poems and prayers, and I'm an animal author, and I need your help, you know, and I love you. And it was just such a high experience. It's being like bathed in pink light, you know, in his presence, and I just doted on him. I mean, we came even closer, and I started to understand where the animals live and their consciousness, and that's just in simple gratitude. You know, just laying on the grass or watching the stars or the trees blow in the wind or the ocean. I mean, just the simple things, you know, and knowing that there's so much more of a higher purpose and consciousness than I had ever imagined, and that it counts. It all counts. It all is. It all has great purpose. Even the things that we think are bad have great purpose because they move us or they give us an opportunity to move to a different place. And sometimes if things don't get, quote, unquote, bad, people don't change and they don't grow.
Well, the thing is when things stay status quo, people start taking life and love and everything around them for granted.
Yes, and forget the gratitude just for the breath, you know.
Yeah.
Just for life. So one of the mantras is I choose life, and I highly encourage people just to use those three words. I choose life, I choose love in every moment, in every day, and to be grateful for that. And
right.
Then we started writing more, I guess you'd call channels, and the first one that is still like a foundation for our work is called You're Only as Powerful as You Are Joyful.
Ah.
And I started to understand that if you don't have joy and happiness in your life, you're not a vibrational match to change your life. You're
right.
Just going to recycle energy. And a vibrational match is for what we want to create is where we want to go, and you can't do that when you're in despair. You really can't. You know, you can't create anything that you're really going to value if you don't do it in joy and in passion.
So what would your recommendation be based on what Pootie has talked to you about and your own intuitive knowing from the you've dealt with. So if a person is in despair and they're at the depth, now, and we all know that we get there, and I just want, just as a comment for all you healers out there or light workers that are listening that are feeling guilty sometimes about feeling like you're in despair because all of a sudden I'm a light worker, I'm not supposed to be feeling with that. I want you to stop feeling guilty right now.
Yes.
I want you to know that that part of being human is feeling that despair if it comes into your life, because it gives you an opportunity to actually take your airplane and pull up on that lever, whatever it is that takes you out of the nosedive.
That's right.
And so what would you say, what pieces of advice would you give our listeners of how to get back to that joy?
Well, first of all, my greatest lesson is it's okay to ask for help when you get into that energy. It's okay to not feel that you have to do that alone. You need to call somebody. You need to ask somebody to come over and see you. You need to be in a support group of people, of like-minded people. And there are people out there, like you and I. They could call us.
Yes, they could call
and
us.
And we can help each other. It's not appropriate to try to do it alone when you're in a deep depression or you're in a lot of pain. It's okay. We're here to help each other. And one of the great questions, as Pooja kept talking and writing about love, I kept thinking, you know, what is love? I'm divorced, you know. I lost my property, maybe I would go into, what is love? Where's the love? You know. And then she said, you have to create it. You have to be it. You love me. I love you. You should feel that for everyone. And I'm like, oh. You know, I started to get it. You know, love is what we create. It's that heart space. It's getting out of the mind and getting into the heart and into the feeling state, because that's where we create from. It's through a feeling state. It's not through analysis or mind chatter. Those days are over. We're in a very high vibration on the planet now, and it's rising daily. So if you want to commune with your higher self and with the angelics and with the animals, you must go into a state of gratitude, and you must go into a state of living in the heart, and then anything is possible. Anything is possible. And Pooja says, again, you're only as powerful as you are joyful, but do what it takes, whatever it takes. When your vibration or your energy drops, you should parent yourself. Even if it means you have to ask for help, okay? You need to parent yourself. You need to do whatever it takes to raise your vibration again. I mean, I'll be driving, and she's funny, and I'll, you know, have a negative thought. And she'll say, pull over the car and tickle yourself. Get over it, you know. Or she'll say, let's go buy some confetti and throw it around, you know. And when you pay a bill, stop whining. Celebrate the fact that you have enough money to pay the bill.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, that should be very joyous for you, because that puts you in the flow, you know, the energetic flow where you're connected to other people.
And so what we really want to know, so this is a perfect opportunity here. For people who would like to call in and talk to Rayon, you can call in if you're in the U.S. at 877-876-5227, or if worldwide is 888-815-9756, or if you want to call direct, our country code is 01, it's 530 area code, 876-3222. So, the idea here, folks, is if you're in a place of despair, or you want some encouragement, this is the time to reach out. We're offering you a chance to call in and allow Rayon, Pooja, or myself to help, and all of us to help you.
Yes.
So do that now. That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
and we welcome animal questions.
Yes.
And you know, specifically now, I'm spending a lot of time and energy with the whale and dolphin energy, and they have a lot of things to say to you, and they have a lot of energy to offer you for healing. And I think almost everybody knows, when you think about a dolphin, you think about smiling, you think about joy, because they literally are the rainbow light. You know, they literally are the bridges of joy, and they're here to assist humanity right now. So, and the whales are the great healers and the keepers of the wisdom. So we can talk about all of that, or any of that.
Right, and you were talking once, we were talking about what happens when someone puts their animal down opposed to allowing them to pass naturally.
Yes. I think part of awakening as the planet and the people aboard awaken to a higher level of consciousness, we're coming back to natural foods, organic foods. We're coming back to a natural understanding of the process of life and the process of death. And, you know, I mean, this is no, I don't mean this disrespectfully in any way, if you're a doctor or a nurse or, you know, Western medicine practitioner, but all of that, our bodies and our families were originally designed to be together in the transition process. I believe that for our highest and best, it's good if the person can pass or the animal can pass naturally at home without a lot of drugs. And I mean, once that peace is claimed, you know, they make peace with where they are, with their family or their friends or at home, and they're not in a hospital with a lot of drugs and wires and machines. It's just the natural way, and the animals are teaching us that, you know. I mean,
but this is not being said to make anybody feel guilty who had to put their animal down.
No, that's not it at all, because I've done that, too, before I came to this state of consciousness, where they're communing to me and they're saying, you know, we just want to die at home, either in our bed or, you know, in their parents' arms, or just
sure.
If sometimes they ask you to leave the room so they can go peacefully with their angels.
Right.
But it's nice for them to be at home. When I had Puda too, she was had a run-in with a raccoon, and that I don't know if you remember that, but it was her time to go.
I do. Yeah.
It's always difficult to release their bodies. We just fall in love with those bodies.
Sure.
But they just go home and get a new costume and come back.
That's
know,
right.
They don't think of it in the way we do. They don't have grief or pain, and so often they just wait. And wait until their humans are ready, you know. And that
if we can understand
that when you're called, it is the most incredible thing to be called home.
Right.
There's only one guarantee when you come to this planet that is you will get to go home.
Right.
You see, so that should be a celebration of joy.
Well, we have a caller on the line.
Oh, good.
And hi, caller.
Hello.
Who is this?
My name is Ann.
Hi, Ann. Where are you calling from?
From Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, Minneapolis. I have lots of people that I love in Minneapolis.
Okay.
I've been at the Edge Expo for many years. Last year was the first time I missed it.
Okay, and I've seen you. I've seen you many times at that expo. I'm usually there.
Well, good, Anne. What's your question?
Well, I have a beautiful, beautiful white cat named Mel, and he's a very mellow, beautiful cat, and he's very loving to everybody but me.
Huh.
How could you possibly not love me? I'm wondering, why doesn't Mel love me?
Okay, if you guys could both talk louder, it's just a little bit hard to hear, and I don't know why.
Okay, so Mel said, so what, it's Anne, right?
Right.
So Anne's calling from, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
Okay.
I heard that Mel is a white cat.
Yes.
And then I didn't get the second part.
And, okay, go ahead, Ann. Talk a little louder and see if she can hear you.
Okay, he's a really beautiful, mellow cat, and he loves everybody but me.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. So she wants to know, why doesn't Mel love her?
Okay, well, actually, he does love you. Okay, well, let me tell you one thing about cats, first of all. And this cat is here for you, is what I'm getting. I mean, it's also here for the other people, but very much loves you. And is mirroring, if you don't mind my saying so, your lack of self-love, because cats as a species will teach you self-love, and they will hold up that mirror for you. So there's a worthiness issue here for you to take a look at, and the cat is showing you how you feel about you.
Oh, my goodness.
Does that make sense to you, Em?
Well, I suppose it could. I hadn't thought of it that way.
How's your self-talk?
I thought it was okay. I have other cats that love me.
I think Mel is a teacher for you right now.
Is
and
he? Okay.
I think that what you should understand now is Mel is listening and hears everything perfectly and reads your vibration perfectly. So now there's this feeling that you're sending out from your body, and now you're having the courage to call us, which is very good, and you're saying, Mel doesn't love me. Well, Mel is just, again, mirroring for you some deep issues within yourself of worthiness. There must be some things that if you could take a really deep look inside, you're going to feel that there's a need for self-forgiveness.
Okay.
For no blame, no shame. And Mel is going to show you a transformation because in his energy and in his behavior now, because he's very happy that you're acknowledging this message.
All right.
How does Mel treat you right now, Ann?
You mean at this moment?
No, I mean, how do you know he doesn't love, why did you think he doesn't love you?
Oh, well, he walks up to other people and he nuzzles them and, Oh, he purrs so loud you can hear it in the next room. And he'll walk up to me, and then if I pet him, he'll like it, but always on the ground. He'll never come in my lap. He'll never let me hold him. And he pushes against me if I try.
Okay, I'm also feeling that if you could do some one-on-one time with him, away from the other animals and the other family members.
Okay.
You could spend some time, you can tell him, you know, and understand, they understand time perfectly. They understand all languages because they read your vibration. You can go into your bedroom with him, and you can say, we're going to make an appointment, and we're going to sit down on the floor together, and we're going to open sacred space, and we're going to talk to each other, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to hear what you have to say to me, and I'm going to give you love, and I'm going to tell you how much it would mean to me if we could further our relationship, and you can continue to teach me, and I thank you for this opportunity, and go into that gratitude space, and you'll see a change.
Okay, well, I will definitely do that.
And the other piece, what I'm getting, Anne, is that you need to tell Mel how much you love having him there.
Mm-hmm.
You need to really say, you know, you are so beautiful, and I just am so happy to have you here. Because what's going on is every time you see him go to somebody else and act the way you want him to act with you, you take on that victim stance, and he reads it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's really about going deep into gratitude with him.
Yeah, and
okay.
Being that example.
Yeah.
And being patient.
Yeah. Well, I can totally see that because I do always think that. I think, you little stinker.
And
right.
He reads that, so then he becomes the stinker, you see.
Right.
And let me ask you this, Anne. If somebody else always said to you, you little stinker, why don't you love me? Would you want to love that person?
No.
Okay, then. You see, so the idea is we have to be so careful, is what Rayanne was saying. We have to be so careful about the vibrations that it's not even our words so much as what we're internally feeling, because the cats really will align with the vibration.
And understand, it is, he takes the responsibility of teaching you self-love very seriously.
Okay, well, that's very beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good. Appreciated talking to you.
Good. Glad to talk to you. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
All
bye.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, this is a good time, Rayanne. Why don't you give your personal phone number if people would like to call you?
Okay.
You know, once we're done with the show.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And my email, should I give that? Okay. So my telephone number in San Diego is 619-271-9461. That's 619-271-9461. And my email is prettiesplace@yahoo.com. So I'll spell that. P like in Paul, U double D Y S P L A C E at yahoo.com.
That's great.
Yeah. So just for the listeners, I've been a student of Donna's in the Akashic Records, and level 2 now, so I have the ability, like she does, you know, to open the records of an individual person or an animal.
Right.
Or the land.
Or the land.
And we do some intuitive work with people, and I join my energies with Puda, and we do some life path coaching and consulting. And that can be very helpful.
Very good.
And we do clearing sessions, and they can be done remotely, or we can do them, you know, if you happen to be in my area. And we use the deep whale sounds for healing and crystal.
And you
of
have,
course, the energy of the cats are incredibly healing.
And you also have whale workshops, right?
Yes, I have a workshop we've created. It's called Healing with the Whales and Dolphins, and presenting that in different areas of San Diego. And if you email me or call me, you can get on our list so I can send you what we're doing. And about every 3 to 4 weeks, we go out on this beautiful catamaran, and we commune with the dolphins who live here. But more dolphins live off the coast of Southern California than anywhere else in the world.
Huh.
Most people don't know that. I didn't know that until recently. You always think of them as being in Hawaii or somewhere. Well, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of dolphins that live here.
That's
great. February 15th, I saw 1,000 dolphins.
That's
like
yeah,
a mile of dolphins in every direction. It's
wow.
A very high experience. And the whales, of course, are migrating now. You know, so it's a great time to see whales as they go. They're coming back now.
How long are they going to be migrating?
The main migration is November through April, but the biggest month is probably March and into April, because they have a tendency to come back together. They don't always go down together, but they have to come back in groups.
Where do they go?
Well, most of them go to San Ignacio that are migrating off our coast to have to mate and to have their babies, and
uh-huh.
Then they start back to Alaska.
And whales are
they're monogamous, aren't they?
Not necessarily.
No. But I thought if they had, once they start, they have a partner, they stay with that partner.
Well, many of them do. But
yeah.
But it's not necessarily, you know, all of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
Speaking of level two, actually, I'm going to be teaching people. I'm going to be having a level two, the end of this next weekend, here in Cleveland, for anyone wants to, that has taken a level one that would like to learn how to access the records of other people, the land, and animals.
Nice.
So that's going to happen here in Cleveland at Nana's house, and I'll be letting you folks know when I'm going to be doing another level one, but. If anybody has a prerequisite of level one and wants to attend that level two, I do have a couple of spots left. So
okay, and if you're interested in coming to Southern California or you live in Southern California, we want to bring Donna out here. We're working on that now, setting a date to bring Donna out here to do a level one. And, you know, it's just an incredible experience. If you're attracted to the Akashic Records, Donna is the teacher, folks. She's the one. So.
Well, yeah, I would actually. I could use some sunshine. So.
I'll bet.
Although Ohio is beautiful, I mean, we've got some great sunshine here. But I would love to come back and just see you. I'd love to see Puda, and so I'd love to come out. And so anybody who is interested, that's great. Thanks for mentioning that, Rian.
Yeah,
I would love to be able to come out and do a level one out there and consultations or whatever.
Right.
And so you've got Rayanne's personal phone number. Let me give you mine. My personal phone number is 216-691-1233. And again, that's 216-691-1233. But for tonight, we'd love to have you call in or email us questions. There is the email address for tonight is info@akashicwisdom.com. That's my personal email, and you can send questions, and I've got my computer on, so they will be instantaneous if for some reason you don't want to get on the phone, but we would love to have you call in and talk to us. So I'm curious, when you're out with the whales, now you have this healing, but I just started something, and the record keepers moved me right to a different direction. Just for you folks who want, just a comment. When we do this show, the Akashic Wisdom Show, I open up my records before the workshop, before the show. And Rayon, you've opened your records.
Yes, I have.
Before the show. So all of a sudden, I'll be talking about one thing, and I'll hear from the record keepers to go in a different direction.
Right.
Because when we work with the records, we don't, and we do a consultation, we don't tell you what we quote unquote think. We tell you what we see, feel, or sometimes hear, so it's, the information is pure. I was about to talk about the dolphins and the whales, and what the record keepers came back to me and said, okay, talk about Puda. What's Puda's plans, and what is the message from Puda today? What does Puda want to talk?
Right now she's suggesting to share a little channel that we did on the stewardship of the planet with regards to the whales and dolphins.
Great.
And I think that kind of relates to the Akashic Records because we're talking in this little three paragraphs we did about what happened 10,000 years ago.
Oh, please.
Would you like to hear that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And it was with Puda's help that I was able to receive this information.
Okay.
So it's called The Whales and Dolphins and Stewardship of Earth. For close to 10,000 years, the whale and dolphin community have been the only vibrational stewards of Earth. Now, that's huge. A vibrational steward is an embodiment that co-holds the frequency of Earth, along with those spirits or souls who embrace our planet. For those who do not know it, the dolphins and whales are fully conscious beings who know no separation from God. They communicate telepathically with one another. They are in full communication with the masters of the spiritual hierarchy, and they live in a state of bliss, pure joy. And in their joy, they hold a high vibration, in doing so support Mother Earth in holding her vibration. The dolphins and whales have an individualized spark of God consciousness. They are super sentient beings and work with the grids of this planet. They were originally designed to hold the vibration of unconditional acceptance in embodiments that live within the water. Planet Earth is not the only planet that has large bodies of water, and the dolphins and whales' genetic system come from the Sirius star system, where embodiments similar to those also co-hold the frequency of Sirius. mankind was originally also designed to hold this vibration of unconditional love, and like the dolphin and whale communities, also support the vibration of Earth while existing upon the land rather than in the water. With the fall of man, and with that I mean with the stripping of our DNA down to two strands, the genetics of mankind became distorted such that the vibration of unconditional love was lost, and along with this, our ability to be a vibrational steward was lost. So it's very important in my world, and I hope that you all feel this in your heart, to connect with these beings as they're helping us heal and come back to a place where we can be vibrational stewards for the planet and take, you know, a conscious stance with how we live and how we think, and knowing that our thoughts create what we do and what we feel and what we experience. And Buddha says, to choose love or not to choose love in every moment is the choice. You see, it's every thought, every word, and every deed. To choose a loving thought changes everything, and it changes it quickly.
Yes.
So I thought that was a good message.
That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Oh, we have another caller. That's
good.
Good, great. Hi, caller. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
And who is this?
My name is Susan.
Hi, Susan. Where are you calling from?
Minneapolis.
Have you listened to before?
I haven't.
Oh, this is your first time?
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good. Do you have a question for Ran?
I do. I have a feral cat. Her name is Felix. And I'm trying to get her to be more comfortable in my house, and I wonder how I can do that.
What can you describe the behavior or the energy around where you think she's not comfortable?
Well, I took her. She was living in a van.
And also, please just talk a little louder.
Yeah, you have to talk louder because we've got a little bit of a connection challenge. Yeah.
Okay. When I got her, she was living in a van.
Okay.
So I took her and I think a litter mate. And I think she was not happy to be separated from the colony.
From the what?
From the colony of feral cats that she was living with.
From the colony of feral cats.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and going into a domestic situation.
Yeah. And so how is her behavior presenting?
Well, she won't let me touch her. Sometimes she will. But very often she'll hiss at me or try to hide.
Okay, and how long have you had her?
Since about Thanksgiving.
Okay, so not too long. Okay, well, the first thing that I'm getting is, and I don't know if you're going to be in alignment with this, but having another cat would be very helpful.
Okay.
So she would have a friend. And I think, you know, what I'm feeling is and when you're choosing, if you decide to do this and you choose to get a different cat, a male energy would be good to help balance her. And,
okay.
Perhaps one that's a little older than her, has a little more experience, and that is a strong personality that could guide her. She's a little lost in her way and feeling confused, but very much wants to break out of that, very much wants to come into a place where she feels that she's safe and that she's not going to have to re-experience what she experienced before so that she can heal that, that she feels confident. And I think the first thing you can tell her is that you're going to be patient and you're not going to give her away.
Okay.
How does that feel?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Because she needs to know that. She wants to heal from, but she's the thoughts kind of recycle in her mind. They're like looping of the trauma.
Okay.
And she just wants to know that she's going to have some security. And also a friend would be wonderful.
Okay.
I have a question. When you got her in the van, how many of the cats were in the van?
About 13.
Yeah, so she's been living in community, you see.
Right.
And so she would like another cat to have.
And what happened to the other cat?
Well, I do have another. I took her and another cat, so she is with another one. But I think that's very true. I think she's missing.
Okay, I'm losing you, so if you could just talk louder.
Sure. I do have another cat with her.
Okay.
But I do think that she is missing the colony.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
How does she react to the other cat?
She's fine with him. They're very close and sleep together.
Wow. Well, maybe I'm just picking up on that. It's already happened. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes, you know, we don't know time, you know, when we're doing this type of work, there is no time, so
right.
Sometimes I'm reading something that's already happened.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Good advice. See how instant that was? Does the other cat let you touch him?
Yeah, I can pick up the other one.
Is it a male?
It's a male.
Uh-huh. Oh, there we go. There's the story. You're already on it. I think just patience, and again, just that reassurance. Don't push. You know, don't tell her she has to be a certain way. And it's when you offer love and then you say, there it is, and if you don't want it, that's fine, and you go about your business and do something else, that's when they'll want it, is when you don't push it. You know, you just offer it.
Okay.
And every day, you know, reaffirm, I love you. If you'd like, I would stroke you, I would touch you, you know, I would pet you. In the meantime, you have food, you have water, you have a safe place to be, you have a friend. You have a mother, and we're blessed to have you in our lives. And just let her be, you know, but just keep encouraging her, and you'll see a shift.
Okay.
Never give up. Love, you know.
Yeah, the other thing that I'm also getting here, too, is to connect with your heart with her heart. What do you think about that, Rayon?
Could you say that again?
For her to connect her heart with the kitty's heart.
Absolutely, yes. Come from that place of gratitude. Yeah.
It's really about imagining energy going from your heart to her heart,
mm-hmm.
and going again deep into that gratitude. But it's also about letting her know that she's safe and you're not going to give her away.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's gonna be with you because you love her.
Yeah, and I think the key thing here is you're going to love her even if you don't feel she loves you back. You're going to love her anyway. You see, what she needs to know is she's lovable.
Okay.
And you really can't share with others until you fill your own cup, and she needs to fill her cup.
Okay.
And so you just be patient and don't put expectations on how she should behave or act, and just continue to love her unconditionally and reassure her about the safety, and you will see a change. She will begin to fill.
Okay.
And then she'll have some to share back with you, but she's healing.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And tell your friends, and I hope you listen some more.
I will.
How did you hear about it?
Well, my friend Ann, I think you just talked with.
Okay.
Called me.
Well, that's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Emails work. That's wonderful.
Yeah. That's great.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, I think that's so important, Rayon, you know, that owners of animals understand how important it is for us to talk to them, not just with our words, but telepathically. It's like if you want an animal to do something, you have to imagine it in your mind first before
mm-hmm.
they'll do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. They're masters of reading vibration. You don't ever, ever, ever want to tell an animal one thing and do another, because trust would be lost, because they expect you to be, they expect you to have integrity with your word. You know, sometimes you can say to your dog, I'm going to go walk you, you know, when I get home from work, and then you come home or something and you're tired. That's not good. Don't say it if you're not going to do it.
Right, right.
Because they are great creatures of integrity, you know, and they hold that highest truth and purity because, well, part of their purpose, you know, on the planet, of course, is to be in service to humanity. I mean, they're literally walking, talking angels. They have great service contracts with us where they come for us. They don't come for themselves. I mean, they can have fun in their life and joy, but, I mean, they really, their highest soul purpose is, particularly the domesticated ones, I'm talking about dogs and cats and horses and birds that are with people. They come for us, and they have many lessons to teach us, and they're wonderful, particularly cats, with removing lower energies, you know, dissonant energies that no longer serve. And they're always clearing, you know, a cat will come around and rub around your ankles and things. Well, a lot of energy collects, dissonant energy collects around our feet and around our ankles, and they're clearing that for you. And then you watch them. They'll take it outside and give it to the sun. And they ground themselves. And they're wonderful examples for us, great teachers in every moment.
That's great. That's great. So when you're talking about Pooda, and you do your consultations, do your consultations, does Pooda actively engage when you do your consultations?
Well, I do a lot of consultations on the phone, so people aren't always able to see her.
Uh-huh.
But we always bring her energy in when we open our sacred space. And
okay.
I'm having more and more people in the last year or two, we'll see one of our advertisements with her picture.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because I advertise in magazines and things. And,
sure.
They will call me up and they will say she's there in their house, and uh-huh. and they can see her, and they connected with her picture in the ad, and she said, call my mother. So she does appear in the etheric to people. I mean, that's been pretty common. I had a lady call and say she's in her fireplace, and I thought that was kind of interesting, and that she was just sitting there, but she could hear her voice, which is nice.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's just so many stories. Last weekend we were, Puda goes to conferences, you know, and
uh-huh.
she goes to the speaking engagements that I do, and if we do a home visit, and it's appropriate for me to bring her, I do bring her.
Uh-huh.
She was, okay, what was I saying? Oh, yes. Last weekend, we were at the 2012 Quantum Leap Conference in Los Angeles, and
tell us
great.
About that, yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was hosted by a myriad of people, but mainly Sri Ramka and Kira Ra. They have the Self-Ascension Temple in work in Taos, in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And they're just, you know, wonderful beings of light. And we went, and Puda was sitting. We had VIP tickets because I got them through my work, so we're sitting in the front row, basically. And she has her own chair, or two chairs, where she likes to stretch out over and be. And she was sleeping, and I was sitting next to my good friend Hugh, and he was kind of nodding off, as we do sometimes. We go to these conferences, you know, and there's a lot of speakers, and it doesn't matter how good it is. Sometimes your energy just goes, oh, okay, I'm kind of tired, you know.
Well, not to mention that sometimes you can't get it consciously, so you have to go to sleep to get it
right,
subconsciously.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And Don Ruiz was speaking.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and it was
the
wonderful.
Four agreements.
Yeah, and uh-huh. so... Hugh told me later, after the conference was over, that he was kind of nodding out, and he felt this energy, you know, Puda, he loves Puda very much, come up under his chair and say, wake up, you should hear this, you know. And then he woke up, and he looked down, and she wasn't there. She was three chairs over sleeping. So we have those kinds of experiences where she weaves her magic, you know. Oh, and then we had this experience where it was the second day, or third day of the conference, it was the last day, and Kira Ra channels Archangel Zadkiel, and we were very excited about hearing the channel because it's always very loving, you know,
uh-huh.
and it's a wonderful opportunity. So we're sitting now in a smaller room, not in the big hall, and chairs are kind of tight, so, you know, Puda's got her chair next to me, and she's getting ready to start, and then we have friends sitting up in front, and with our friends up in front, there was an empty chair in the next row, and then there were people we didn't know. Right before the channel, she jumps for the first time, actually, she's never done that before, into the next row. And she landed in that empty chair, and she turned around and put her paws on this man that was a stranger we didn't know, and just began to, like, you know, knead his leg. And he turned around, and he just beamed this light at us. And I went, she wants to work on you. She's a healer. And he goes, oh, thank God. You know, and then they started the channel, and for whatever reason, the microphones weren't working very well, and I really, really wanted to hear. So Puda turns around to me, and she says, go up to the front row. I'm fine. I'm going to be here for 3 hours. I said, 3 hours? And she said, I'll be fine. And then next to the other side is my friend Michael was sitting there. And Michael, I said, well, you know, will you watch? I mean, you know, I didn't want to just get up and leave her for 3 hours. With, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'll watch her, you know. And so I went up to the front, and I just, you know, disconnected myself from her energy and let her do her thing. And I came back, and it was 3 hours. I mean, it was long, but it was great, you know. And the guy is just turning pink. He's just beaming, you know. And here she still is, laying over his lap.
Dad.
And he got up, and, he, you know, I gave him, of course, my card. We are connected now. He's like, I have to have more of this. So she picks and chooses, you know, and she finds a way.
Yeah.
To when we're in a crowd like that of who is going to be open to her energies, you know.
That's amazing. Okay, so we have another caller.
Oh, good.
That's great. Hi, caller.
Hi, Donna. It's Lucita.
Oh, Lucita, how are you? I'm so glad you called in.
Oh, I just had to call in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was waiting for you to call in.
Oh, really? Really?
Here, let me introduce the two of you together.
Okay.
So, Rayan, I want you to meet Lucita, and Lucita, meet Rayan. And, Rayan, let me tell you that Lucita is wonderful with animals. She does animal acupressure, right?
Yes, I do.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so yeah. Go ahead. And so I'm going to shut up and let you guys talk. Can you hear her okay, Rayan?
It is a challenge, so just talk loud, everybody.
Oh, I'll talk louder.
Oh, that's much better. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Well, I actually have a question. You've been mentioning connecting with the whales and the dolphins.
Yes.
And is there, like, instructions with that?
Is there what?
How to.
Of how to do it?
Yes, how to do it.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, know that because they're super sentient beings, you can think of them as like an ascended master kind of energy. They can hear you.
Oh.
And in the ocean's archives, there is a whale that's incarnate that has the ability to access the intelligence in the water molecules and have your Akashic records right there. Okay, so, and each whale is a group consciousness. So just visualize first a whale, and you'll get a picture of a whale in your mind, and know that that's the one that's going to work with you, okay?
Okay.
And I call for what I call the soul stream. I call for the energy of the origin of their creation, and I ask to step into that energy, that light.
Mm-hmm.
And we call that like the Merkaba of the whale, and we enter into the Merkaba of the whale, and then you let it start to spin in your mind, and you're instantly in this just place of bliss, and it's just... It's wonderful. You can use pictures of whales, too, those calendars, you know, with whales and dolphins, because we're visual, and they can come anyway. They'll come. You just ask for them, and they come. It's that simple. It's no different than a prayer,
okay.
You know, and then there's God right there. See, what do you need? They pick up the phone. So, but for you, yeah, exactly. For you, it does help to have the whale sounds playing, you know, and also visuals. But it is that simple. And so then the next thing they want you to know is to start to work on conscious breath work. The message we received actually last week was, and it was with the help of a sound healer too. She got the same message, but more specifically than I did because she works with sound. It was to inhale for 9 seconds, and that's hard to do, but at least it is for me at this point, but I'm working on it. And then hold 9 seconds, and then exhale 9 seconds, and to do that 9 times a day. And what happens is your brain, the two halves of your brain become balanced during that exercise. Because sometimes we're more right brain or we're more left brain, right? So
right.
The whales have this beautiful balanced brain, and they're, you know, in direct connection with source energy. So, and then you start to see this infinity loop. Take the number 8 and lay it on its side, you know, and put that right up against your third eye so that the loops of the figure 8 go around your eyes. And just take your finger now and put it on your third eye. Take your right index finger. And trace around under your left eye, up over your left eyebrow, over your nose and under your right eye and up and over the right. And just start using your finger first to get it going. And then just go into a meditative state and watch that energy run and just feel it. It's like electricity. It starts to go faster and faster and faster. You start to feel better and better and better. And do the breathing work. And then you're going to be in communication. And if you're, you know, inclined to be telepathic or want to be, get out your pad and paper or tape recorder and the messages will just come.
Okay. Well, I definitely, that's just been wonderful information.
Yeah, and so, and what happens, too, you understand we always talk about being grounded. Well, what does that mean? I didn't used to even like that word. What it means is we're bringing more of our higher self, our angelic self, you know, the peace of God that we are into our physical bodies, and then miracles can really happen. Talk about a high vibration.
Maybe
so
yeah,
you can
I'll
really accomplish a lot with that energy
done
running.
Yeah.
Does that make, I mean, you're really connected to your soul at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Lucita?
Oh, I said maybe I'll use that meditation and exercise to get myself to Donna's level 2 class at Nana's house.
Oh, great.
Very nice.
We'll find a place for you to stay, Lucita.
Okay. I'm going to work on it.
Okay.
I would love to, I know there's probably not that much more time, but I would love to call you and talk about the work that I do.
Oh, I would love that. Please do.
Oh, I will. I will. And I will end it here because I don't know how are you in your time.
We're okay. We have a couple minutes left.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you have my phone number, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. I look forward to hearing
more.
Go ahead.
Give it to everybody again, Rayon.
Okay, 619-271-9461. Yeah, we love to have questions. You know, you can call, find out more about what we're doing.
Well, Lucita and I go back a long way.
Oh yes, a long way. Minnesota.
One of the classes in Minnesota that was had like almost 40 people, I think, wasn't it?
Uh huh.
Yeah, it was a big class.
Yeah, I actually took level 1 twice.
Yeah, lots of people take level 1 twice.
Yeah, it's a good idea to take it more than once. So, Lucita, when you're doing the work with the animals, do you receive messages?
Yes, I do.
I thought so.
Yes, yeah. I do. And I'm trying to trust myself more in what I hear. And had some clients where I told them what I felt or heard and saw, and then they would go to a vet and it would get confirmed, you know. And so I said, you know, it's just, I'm glad they did because it helped me trust what I hear and see.
Right. Yeah, and that's the message, folks. It's about trust. It's about faith. It's about knowing that these great beings of light would not misrepresent you in any way. They would never lie to you, and you have to just trust. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, when you get the messages, and she's laying it right out there, know that you're hearing the truth of that being, that cat or dog or whatever, because
mm-hmm.
it is their greatest desire to communicate with us. They don't want to be separate.
Okay.
Well, that's great. And at that point, I think we do have to close the show.
Yes.
This has been a great time. Thank you so much, Lisita, for calling in.
Yeah.
You're welcome. And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
great to meet you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, Rayanne, thank you so much for calling and for coming on the show again. We'll have to have you on again soon.
It's so much fun.
This is so much fun.
Isn't it fun? Oh,
yes, absolutely.
These are the things we want to talk about all day long.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to give my phone number, 216-691-1233. And if you go up to the BBS website, you can get all my information if you need. And if you'd like to call me privately, I'm available, as Rayanne is available for private conversations and consultations. And we both do life path consulting. We both do business consulting all through the records. But she's in San Diego. I'm in Ohio. And we both do them over the telephone. But the most important thing is that we want to encourage all of you to really connect with the love that's in your heart. Because that's what's going to really shift our planet, is when we connect with the love and shift ourselves first. Start with one being at a time, and that's us. That's not selfish. That's really helping the planet. So, again, thank you so much, Rayanne, for being on. Please, I want to thank Puda and all the whales and dolphins that have been present at this time, because the rooms have been filled.
Yes. She says, you're welcome. I really love being on your show, Donna.
And I really love having you. I really do. Okay, so we're going to close the records for tonight for the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show by saying I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all these wonderful beings of light, both seen and unseen. We ask that everyone may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. Have a miracle-filled week and a love-filled week. And come back next week, and we'll talk about some more stuff. Okay, everyone, have a great one. Talk to you soon. This is Donna Fox saying good night.
Good night.
Good night. I'll talk to you.
Okay, I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Yeah, no.